you brought your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and also Matthew chapter 18. Look at how I'm doing it. That's just, you're in for it today. You didn't even know you were going to be blessed double, right? It's a double portion this morning. I'm excited today to begin our series entitled Untangled. Untangled. Really believe that God desires us not to live all twisted up and tangled up, but desires us to live in freedom and in victory. And this morning, we're going to look at God's Word today. It is good, and it is life to us. And so this morning, if you are there, Hebrews chapter 12, say, I'm there. Okay, I'm not going to, I didn't even ask. I wasn't even going to ask. I thought, man, if I got enough there, so I'm just going to go with it. Okay, I'll wait. I don't have any jokes this morning, other than, I'm not going to do it. Okay. No, they treated me well. They treated me well. And Megan, we got to get a picture afterwards, right? Because this may never happen again. So let's document it. Let's get it recorded. And let's celebrate that God is good. Thank you. Thank you. I'm not sure if it'll be on me again, but I am excited this morning. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, says this: Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. Look at your neighbor and say, throw off everything that hinders. And the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Untangled. This morning is really, this passage is really where the Lord brought me to and said, I want my people to know freedom. And I don't know about you, but oftentimes I get a little tangled up. And I really believe that what God's desire is for us as we kind of go through this series is to understand that He has given us a freedom and a victory in Him where we don't have to live all tangled up. Where we don't have to live so weighted down. Where we can know freedom and know victory in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. Now let's look at Matthew 18. This is really where we're looking today. That was the setup. That was free. Matthew 18, beginning in verse 21. Matthew 18, beginning in verse 21. If you're not there, but look and say, I'm not there yet. Okay, keep going. You'll make it. Matthew 18, Jesus here is going to, and he is teaching his disciples and those that are around him about something that I believe easily entangles us. Meaning that we don't have to work too hard to fall into its grasp here. And I'm believing that as we see and as we walk in, hear the word of God, and find freedom from the sin that so easily entangles, that we would be able to run the race that has been marked out for us. Amen? We've been talking this whole year about this year, 2018, being an anomaly. If I asked you today, what about 2015 sticks out to you? Maybe you'd be like, 2000 and what? Well, I'm not looking back. I'm looking forward. Okay. Super spiritual. All right. But we want this year to be a year where we really step forward in our walk with the Lord. Where we take steps of and we grow and we mature. If a child stayed the way that they are today, the next 3 years, you'd think there's something wrong. But there's growth that happens each and every day. And in the same way, God's desire for us is to grow. And here's what Jesus says in Matthew, or what we're looking at, Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse 21. Matthew writes, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me?' 'Up to 7 times. Peter asks a question that I think all of us will experience, have experienced, maybe are in the midst of experiencing, or will one day face. And that's, what do we do when somebody does wrong against us? Anybody ever experienced anyone who did wrong against you? Well, just 5 of us. Just a couple. Okay. Man, if it's just a couple, man, you... Okay, now you're making me envious. Don't let me sin today. He said, how many times should I forgive him? And Jesus answered, and he said, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. And now, I'm not going to get into the significance of the 7, or even the 77 this morning. What I want us to see, though, today, is what Jesus says is really, it's not about keeping track. It's not about keeping track when it comes to forgiving people. When your forgiveness is keeping score, it's not forgiveness of God. See, when your forgiveness is, okay, I'm going to forgive you this time, but check. Oh, again? I'm going to forgive you. What Jesus is saying, it's not about keeping score. But forgiveness, when it comes to the forgiveness of God, is not a score-keeping business. But forgiveness is to be given. Given. And this morning, I pray and I hope and I really want us to look at and begin to be untangled by the sin of unforgiveness. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because, one, I don't want to put you on the spot, but, two, I don't want to get you even in more trouble with the Lord if you wouldn't be honest. But maybe today there'd be some of us in this room who are harboring some unforgiveness towards somebody. Somebody who hurt us. Somebody who's done us wrong. And we hold that. And we may have even said, I forgive you, but we don't let it go. We may have even said, you know what, I forgive this. But it's what we dwell on. It's what we think about constantly. And this morning, my hope is that through God's Spirit that's here in this place today. Now, you know, it's always this. This is always an opportunity, right? You could be in the presence of somebody who could bring you freedom and bring you joy. And yet you could sit back and be like, I'm checking out. Or you can really press in and say, Spirit of God, move in my heart today. Spirit of God, have your way in me. Reveal things in me today. Maybe I'm holding some unforgiveness. And if I'm being honest, you know what? It still really bothers me. If I'm being honest, really, I might have said I forgive, but have I really? This morning, I'm believing it through the power of His Spirit today. Because I want to tell you, in your own human power, in your own human ability, you're unable to forgive the way that God has called us to forgive. You may say, Pastor, I just feel exhausted. That should tell you that you've been trying to do it in your own power, in your own strength. Well, I just can't do it. That's okay. His Spirit empowers, His Spirit enables us to do things that we could not do on our own. And forgiveness is one of those things. So let's pray this morning. Father, we thank You for Your Word today. Lord, I pray in this place today that You would reveal and that You would expose the unforgiveness in our hearts. Lord, today that Your Spirit would bring life and bring freedom. It's as we acknowledge and as we turn from that sin that we find that freedom in You, Jesus. Lord, that today You would set us free, that we would see Your heart when it comes to forgiveness, and that no longer would we be tangled up by the things of this world, but we would know freedom and know right standing with You as we forgive those who have hurt us, as we forgive those who have done us wrong, as we forgive those who have maybe even rightfully, who we've been holding something against. Father, today help us to learn how to forgive and to forgive. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. In a few short months, and I say a few short months, especially up here in Cadillac, the Lord is going to release concentrated water from the sky in the form of... Oh, you stop that right now. I'm just saying it's coming. This isn't prophetic. This is just realistic. It's coming. And it's going to get cold, and then we're going to celebrate a season. And maybe you'll have bags like this, and they have things like this that you'll bring out of them. And you'll think, didn't I wrap this up last year? But you didn't, because you just wanted to get it put away. So you just wrapped it up as quick as possible, and you just threw it in the bag. Oh, okay, just me. Just me. How many know that this tangled mess can turn into minutes, even hours of frustration? Everybody's ready. Let's get the lights on the tree. Let's get it going. And you're just frustrated because you got to untangle this thing. And maybe you're here today and it's like, you know what, we share this responsibility. In fact, the kids pitch in. But at my house, it's Dad's responsibility. My wife will slide them to me. Here, let's get them going. And you pull them out and you're like, oh, here we go. Here we go. And it takes time to untangle that which has been. It takes time to untangle things that have been put in bags without regard, that have been spent time maybe being thrown this way and that way. I was going to have somebody untangle it as an illustration, but this could take a long time. Or it could not take a long time. It ruins the illustration. So, it's one of these things that God's desire is not for us to live a tangled life, but that we would know victory. It's almost like I'm surprised every year when I pull these out of this bag, like, what happened? As if somehow in the bag it tangled itself. When in reality, its tangled mess is really my fault. Because that's what I did. I just got it off the tree as quick as possible, threw it in the bag, and had no regard for it. In the same way today, maybe we're looking at, if we introspectively look at ourselves, and especially in the area of forgiveness, and maybe there's unforgiveness in our hearts, can I just challenge us today that your unforgiveness that you're holding is not blame or fault of the person who hurt you, but the unforgiveness that you're holding and that is tangling, entangled you, is your fault. Oh, Pastor, you better explain that. You see, people have the ability to influence your outcome, but they cannot determine your outcome. See, people have the ability to affect you, but they can't determine your outcome. See, your outcome is determined by you. Your outcome is determined by where your faith is. Can I tell you this morning that any unforgiveness that we hold within our hearts is sin? Unforgiveness will not just hurt you now temporarily, but it will keep you from eternity with God. Please hear this today. In no way am I justifying or just excusing your hurt away and acting like it doesn't matter. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying this morning is that you choose, we choose, to either hold on to unforgiveness, and it will not only poison our today, but it will absolutely affect our eternity. And it wasn't the person's fault. When we stand before God, we won't be able to say, well, Ryan did this to me! He didn't. I'm just using him as an example. God, you don't get it! It hurts so bad. God, you don't understand. I think in that moment, there's no justifying it. The truth is, his word declares, I'll tell him plainly, I have known you. When we hold and we harbor unforgiveness in our hearts, we really keep ourselves from heaven. Friends hurt me. And I hold that hurt, hold that, and I'm just angry, I'm bitter, I'm mad. And I do not forgive him, and I'm angry against him, and I hold this unforgiveness towards him. It poisons my temporary, it poisons my now, but it absolutely destroys my eternity. Pastor, you don't get it, I'm justified. And there's only one thing that justifies you and me, and that's the cross of Jesus Christ. There's only one thing that justifies you and me, and that's the blood of Jesus that was poured out for you and for me. It's the grace of God where we are justified. It's not by work. It's not by merit. In the same way we have been forgiven, we are called to forgive one another. This morning, through this passage, and we just began this part of teaching that Jesus begins, and we're going to look at it here today, but I want us to see three things that I think are so important, crucially important for us today to understand about forgiveness. And it's going to kind of stick with this idea of untangle, and you'll see what I mean. The first thing here is seen in verses 23 through 27. Says this, Jesus tells this parable. He says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like. You know, when Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like, we should pay attention. We should really pay attention. Because he's giving us a look at eternity. He's giving us a look into his way of thinking. He's giving us a look into what it's going to be like. And he says this, the kingdom of heaven, it's like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. He began the settlement. A man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged. And I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. The first thing I want us to see about forgiveness is this. Forgiveness is undeserved. Forgiveness is undeserved. I think this is one of the things that easily entangles us. Because we view forgiveness as a merit-based system. And we even teach it sometimes to our kids. One kid does the other wrong. Hey, go say sorry. Go say sorry. There's nothing wrong with being apologetic. Nothing wrong with that. But the truth is, whether that person apologizes or not, that other one needs to forgive them. See, some of us have not forgiven people because we're still waiting on an apology. Realize how much they hurt me. They don't even understand. As if we're waiting for the person who hurt us to fully understand and grasp the complexity of the hurt that we have felt in order for us to then get to a place to forgive. Can I tell you today that if you're waiting for the person who hurt you is forgiveness. We'll never find forgiveness. That's why forgiveness is undeserved. It's unmerited. It's not something that we earn. It's something we give. I don't know about you, but I know for me, for certain, I've never earned God's forgiveness. What do you mean, Pastor? Look at you. You went to school for this stuff. You paid money to learn. You did this. You did that. You've been a part of this. You've been a part of that. No, I've not earned it. I'm undeserved. When it comes to forgiveness, I don't deserve it. One of the things I love about that song, Reckless Love, I don't deserve it. I couldn't earn it, yet he gave himself away. Right? It wasn't about what I did. It was about his love for me. And that's good news today. We can celebrate today that it's not based on our merit. We are forgiven because he loves. And in the same way he loves us, he calls us to love one another. This commandment I give to you, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And sometimes those ands just mess things up. As if we couldn't already spend our life worried and working through and trying our best to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength. As if we couldn't spend a lifetime working on that. And Jesus has to throw this wrench into it and says, and also love your neighbor as yourself. Well, I don't know about you, but my neighbor doesn't deserve it. Well, some of you live in good subdivisions. I'm not necessarily in the best subdivision, I guess. I don't know about you, my neighbor has done me wrong. I think we've talked about this before. We've had neighbors write notes to us about how we need to clean our stuff up. Let me just tell you, I had a couple words from my neighbors. But the Lord protected me. The Lord protected me. Listen, you're looking at an imperfect man up here. My neighbors hurt me. More than that, my neighbors hurt my wife. You know, you can hurt me all you want. You start messing with my lady. It's going down. It's going down. It'll be like Jesus with the bullwhip coming through the temple, right? I mean, this is happening. We try to justify it that way, as if it's righteous. The truth is, when it comes to forgiveness, it's never earned. It's undeserved. This is good news for us. When it comes to receiving forgiveness, this is not the best news for us when it comes to extending forgiveness. See, oftentimes when it comes to receiving the things of God, we want to receive his grace but give out his judgment. We want his grace because we need it. But then we want to give out his judgment because he's holy. And I tell you today, you can't separate those things. God is grace, but he's also just. Well, how can a loving God send anybody? No, nobody. He didn't send nobody. In the same way that we get into this tangled mess, it's nobody's fault but our own. No, you don't get it, Pastor. You don't understand. There's nothing to understand when it comes to forgiveness. It's undeserved. So no explanation needed. And I'm so glad for that when it comes to God's forgiveness to me. I don't have to justify myself. I'm justified by the cross. By the blood of Jesus. But then when it comes to me forgiving others, it's like, well, wait a second, God, maybe you don't understand how silly we sound. Well, wait a second, God, maybe you just don't know how I feel. As if his word doesn't show us. Not only he knows everything, He knows the hairs on your head. For some of us, it's a lot less for God to remember, but there's nothing hidden from God. He knows how you feel, He knows how you felt, and He's called you to forgive. That's tough. That's tough. Again, I don't believe that forgiveness is being a doormat. I don't believe that forgiveness means no consequence. In fact, I think when we forgive people, we release our hold, our ability or our desire for them to receive this or that, and God moves. And can I tell you this, that this morning, God can do more in and through the person who's hurt you than you can to them? Now maybe this morning you just perked up like, oh, he's going to get him. Okay, I'm ready to forgive this morning, Pastor. Just get to the call. Just get to the prayer. But do you know what God's desire for that person is? Is to get them into His kingdom. That none would perish, but that all would come to repentance. See, our get them and God's get them is different. See, there's been some people who have hurt me since we've been here at Cadillac. And I've said, okay, God, I forgive all of them. I choose to forgive. Now help me heal. See, guys, we get those mixed up. We think forgiveness is just everything's fine. No, no, no. Forgiveness is a choice. Healing is a process. So we choose to forgive. And we ask the Spirit of God to heal. To heal us. And to bring healing to us. And He does that. That's good news today. I wonder for us this morning how many of us are holding on to unforgiveness because the person who hurt us has not earned it. Pastor, when they earn it, I'm going to forgive them, I promise. Just not yet. Because they haven't earned it. And I tell you, you may be holding on to that unforgiveness. And God's desire is not for you to be all tangled up in unforgiveness. The sin that easily entangles us. His desire is that you would know freedom, that you would forgive the way He has forgiven us. Which brings us to our second point. I didn't even get into all this insightful things that I had about how much this talent really is. I'll get into it maybe here in a second. The second thing I want us to see about forgiveness is this, seen in verse 28 through 33. It says, but when that servant, after the king had forgiven him, that servant, went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Okay, difference right here, right? That before, the servant owed the king 10,000 what? Talents. And here, the servant, the one servant, owes the other servant 100 denarii. Right? Here's the difference. Back in this time, the way that money was what was given and distributed was by weight. It was a scale. And when what you had or what you wanted was measured, then the deal was made. And a talent was the heaviest form of measurement. In regards to pounds, one talent would equal about 40 to 80 pounds. Of what this is. And here we see that within this measurement of denarii, it's the least form, the smallest form of measurement. It'd be about 4 grams. I don't know if you understand pounds and grams, but grams are a lot smaller than a pound. And in regards to what this looked at, this servant who owed the king owed him more money than he'd ever be able to repay. In fact, it's silly that he says, just give me time and I'll repay you. Millions, some theologians say even could be into the billions of dollars that he owed him. Talent would be equal to about 16 years' wages. And here we see a denarii would be about a day's wages. And here we see how Jesus is showing us that it's about what the servant owed the king. It was impossible some jewelry, and it's a part of this group, and maybe I'll hit it rich, and you know, this and that. No, it was impossible to pay back. He was never going to be able to pay it back. And the king had pity on him and canceled and forgave his debt. Yet here we see the servant who comes against the other servant who owes him something that he could have paid back. Could have paid back. It would have taken some time, but he could have paid it back. And watch what happens. He saw the servant who owed him 100 denarii, and he grabbed him and began to choke him. You know what that looks like? Okay. No explanation, illustration needed. He began to choke him. He said, "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw that this had happened, they were greatly distressed. And they went and told their master everything that had happened. And the master called the servant in. You don't want to be in this called, being called in when this happens. He says this, "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all your debt, all the debt of yours, because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" Second thing I want us to understand and see from this teaching of Jesus is that not only is forgiveness undeserved, but forgiveness is to be uniform. Uniform. Think. Yeah, uniform. Not uninformed, but uniformed, but uniform. The forgiveness is to be uniform. What's uniform mean? It means it looks like it. It means we do the same. And here's the important thing for us to really get a hold of. Jesus explains through this story that the king said to his servant, "I forgave you because you begged me to. Why did you not do the same? Why didn't you forgive the way that I forgave you?" Can I tell you this morning, that when it comes to forgiveness, we're in need of so much more. When it comes to our relationship with God, we're in need of so much more forgiveness. And Jesus is showing us something here. He's saying that what we owe God is great, and what people owe us. Well, Pastor, you don't get it. You obviously have never been hurt. Really? That's it? Yeah, you don't understand. You know, I may not understand your situation, but I do understand the debt that we owed God. The unpayable debt. Romans tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And it goes on in chapter 6, verse 23, to say that the price, the wages of sin is death. Oh, this is good news. It's not good news. Because the price, the wage. Well, Pastor, maybe for you, you've messed up a lot. Trust me, I've heard your stories. But for me, the price isn't as much. No. The price is the same, and it's death. We have no hope in and of ourselves. The wages of sin and death is death. But here's the good news. But the gift of God. Gift of God, the grace that is poured out upon me and you. Can I tell you today, I don't deserve it. I didn't earn it. But the price that he paid for you and for me was so that we didn't have to earn it. That we didn't have to deserve it, but that through faith, by grace, through faith, we could be saved. That's good news today. That by grace, through faith, He set us free. We don't have to be this tangled mess no more. Well, Pastor, I don't know about you, but since I received His grace, I'm still a bit of a tangled mess. Yeah. We're in progress. When we come to faith in Jesus, we're not perfected in life. We're perfected in relationship with God. There's nothing more we'll do that will make God love us more. In fact, even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And it wasn't about, well, I'm going to believe so God will love me. No, He loves you. That's why He gave Himself for you. Even before you even knew that you were in sin, He made a way for you and for me. So that even though we were undeserving, we can know forgiveness of sin. And when it comes to forgiveness, it's to be the same as that of Christ. You know, it's interesting in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says this after teaching His disciples. Matthew chapter 6, if you don't believe me, you can flip there. Jesus here teaches His disciples how to pray. And He says this. This then is how you should pray. Verse 9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Wouldn't it be great if it just stopped right there? We just jump from there to, and lead us not into temptation. But He don't stop there. He says, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And isn't this incredible that Jesus here shows, He's teaching us how to pray, and He says, Father, forgive us as we forgive those who hurt us. In fact, it's the only part of the prayer that Jesus then goes on to emphasize here in verse 14. He says, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. This is good news. Forgiveness, something we have not deserved, something we don't earn, but we can receive. But verse 15 says this, but if you do not forgive men their sins, this is the news we have to hear this morning. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Wait a second, this isn't fair. As if grace was fair. As if mercy is fair. As if love is fair. Did we hear this morning what He says? That if we... Oh, that's us. 808. Sorry, babe. I'm busy. Sorry, babe. She's shaking her head. Twice? I'll pray for us. We got a lot of kids. Twice. You know what? I forgive them. So, it's to be the same as Christ has forgiven us. Aren't you glad this morning that He's not up there keeping score? Just a couple of us. And for me, it's yes, yes, yes. I'm so glad that His Word says that love keeps no record of wrongs. The fact that when we are forgiven, He cleanses us, He separates our sin as far as the east is from the west, right? That there is gone. Oh, I'm so glad for that this morning. I don't know about you, but I'm in need of that kind of forgiveness often. Well, not me, Pastor, just once. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders in the sin. Sin that so easily entangles. If we're harboring unforgiveness in our heart, whether you knew it or not before this moment, you are sinning against God. For if you do not forgive men their sins, our Father in heaven will not forgive you of yours. That's crazy. What do you mean? People have a way of determining, affecting our eternity. No, not determining. Yes, affecting. Oh, son, I forgive you, bud. I love you. Forgive you. It's my little guy. Get in trouble. It's okay. Daddy loves you. I'm so glad just like that. I don't know about you, but I get in trouble often. Oh, just me? Boy, if God had a thing that jumped up on the screen when I was messing up. Oh, my Lord, thank you. I'm in need of His forgiveness. And it's an undeserved forgiveness, and it's to be a uniform forgiveness. The way that we forgive one another should be the exact same way that God has forgiven us. Pastor, I'm in need of help there. That's okay. God's Spirit helps us. Empowers us to do things that we cannot do on our own. See, the truth is this. God's desire is for us to be free. Well, why in the Bible did He talk about His mercy being new every morning? Why? Because I don't know about you, but I often need it. I'm undeserving. But He's called us to forgive people who have hurt us the same way that He's forgiven us. And the last thing I want us to see is this. We've kind of already a little bit danced around it. But I want us to see this. It's seen in verse 34 and 35. It says this. In anger, His master turned. Can I tell you today that some of the anger that we feel is due to a righteousness that God has bestowed upon us? When we get upset with things that are done that aren't right, it can be a righteous anger. Yet the Bible says that in your anger don't sin. Well, what are you talking about? We can be upset about something and not sin? Yeah. It says don't let the sun go down on your anger. Things that are done to us that aren't right, they're going to affect us. Pastor, you telling me I'm like messed up because I reacted? Because I got upset? No. I'm telling us we're wrong. We hold on to it. We hold on to it. When that anger turns into unforgiveness, that's sin. Here, even in this passage, we see in anger, His master turned Him over to the jailers to be tortured until He should pay back all He owed. Do you know when He will pay back all He owes? Never. It really is a picture of hell. I know that there's this teaching that there is no such thing as hell. Can I tell you that Jesus talked more about hell than heaven? Well, no, because He's loving. There's no such thing. There is. And in His loving kindness, He came and gave Himself as the atonement for sin so that we do not have to know that torture. So that we do not have to know that eternal separation from God. The world today, so many absolute misconceptions. Hell's not going to be that bad. Are you kidding me? The gnashing of teeth. Are you kidding me? No, that's not biblical. Yes, it is. Jesus, red words, talk about it. We don't have to fear it. Because although it's a place, it's not a place for those who put their faith in Jesus Christ. But yet here He shows us that what unforgiveness will lead us to. This is how your heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. This is crazy. What are you talking about? Is this us again? Oh, okay. Thinking, how many times can we? He's going to have a whole row up here. Sorry, I know what this feels like. Remember to forgive him. You know, we've been looking at what forgiveness is, and what I want us to see here at this last and third point, forgiveness is undeserved. Forgiveness is to be uniform like Jesus has forgiven us. But can I tell you that today, that if you do not forgive, if you hold on to unforgiveness, it will lead you to an unexpected eternity. I think that's what I put, right? Unexpected. Yes. You know, some of us, maybe today as we've come and we've gathered, it's like, well, I didn't even realize how big of a deal this was. I didn't even realize that this could keep me from heaven. What are you talking about? Jesus tells us, shows us, his word declares to us that unless we forgive those who have hurt us, then our Heavenly Father will not forgive us our sin. This is huge for us. Today, I want you to know this morning that I'm in no way trying to justify, minimize, or cancel out the hurt that you have felt. When people sin against or hurt us, it's painful. Those who say sticks and stones, they break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Boy, that was the enemy. There ain't nothing more than a lie than that. Now please hear me. Sticks and stones will break my bones. So don't put that to the test on me today. It will, but the good thing with broken bones is they usually heal. Words can destroy us. Do you want to know why Jesus declares and says we must be born again? One is because we're born in sin. Because of Adam's sin, we have inherited a sin nature. And while we were born, before we did anything, we were sinful. So he says we must be born again. So that in Christ we would be made new. The righteousness of God, not because of what we've done, but because of what he's done for us. But also this is one of my favorite verses in all the Bible, 1 Corinthians 5:17. That therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Some of us in here have had some pretty bad things spoken over us. People have really hurt us. You know what Jesus says? It's the turn. The other cheek. Can I give you just, and this is free too. I wasn't planning on this. Jamie, would you come? Can I give us some insight into this, what Jesus is talking about here when he says turn the other cheek? Oftentimes we play this out. And this morning, really what I want you to know, if you've hurt somebody, the reaction to this message shouldn't be when you leave. Well, you better listen to the pastor. You better forgive me. That should not be our reaction this morning. In fact, if that's your reaction right now, that you're thinking of who needs to forgive you, you've missed this whole thing. And you're going to walk out of here the same as you walked in. Today, God's word has nothing to do with everybody else who's done you wrong. It has everything to do with what we hold on to, what we choose to not forgive. Jesus says and talks to those following him about turning the other cheek. If somebody comes up and hits you on the face, now what he's not saying is if somebody just walks up to you and punches you. I've been walking this earth for a little while now. That's never happened. Now I'm not saying put that to the test either, because I like to shake hands. But you said it never happened once. You experienced it. No. That's not what he's saying. You see, within the Jewish culture, the face really represented relationship. That's why oftentimes in the Middle East, when Jennifer said, they get uncomfortably close. This is uncomfortable. But this is, if you ever been over in the Middle East, they bring you in close. And they have a conversation right here. This is uncomfortable. Why? Because it's about being face to face. And it has to do with relationship. What Jesus is teaching us is if somebody smacks, I'm not going to do it, don't worry. I don't want you doing it to me, I'm not going to do it to you, okay? What he's saying is somebody hits you on slaps you on the cheek. They're not trying to beat you up. They've severed relationship. They've come across in broken relationship, and what Jesus doesn't say is just keep giving them that cheek. Just let them keep hitting you. Because forgiveness is not putting yourself into an abusive situation. Forgiveness is turning the other cheek. What does that mean? It means that we give people a clean slate. We put what has happened in the past behind us. And we offer a new beginning. Forgiveness is a new beginning. It's not a canceling out of consequence. It's not a justifying of wrong. Forgiving someone doesn't make them right. It makes you free. Forgiveness is what we choose. As the Lord was leading me through this week, if I'm being honest, there were people who still have had some things, and I've said it, I forgive them. But when I think of them, I don't think about blessing. And the Bible talks to us about how we overcome forgiveness, how we overcome hurt. And it says, as we would think or as we would be with that person who's hurt us, we would bless them. We would pray for them. It's hard for us to hold on to unforgiveness and be somebody who blesses. Now, this isn't that Southern saying, oh, bless your heart, which says blessing, but it means, oh, bless your heart. It's not blessing. When we begin to bless, when we begin to forgive and bless and pray for those who have hurt, Jesus says, blessed are you. This morning, can I ask, are you harboring some unforgiveness in your heart? Maybe you walked into this place, and if we're being honest, we're a little tangled up. There's unforgiveness, there's bitterness, there's anger. This morning, my prayer is that we would forgive. Well, Pastor, it's not just going to happen like that. Why not? When you asked him to forgive you, didn't it just happen like that? Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Well, yeah, but I'm not God. Yet his expectation for us as followers of him is that we would forgive those who have hurt us the same way he has forgiven us for our sin. One of my greatest concerns for us is that we would feel like, well, but Pastor, I'm justified in this. Trust me. Just trust me. I mean, I'd explain it to you and all, but it's long and, you know. Just trust me. Well, can you just trust me that God's word is right and true? And in fact, if you don't want to trust me, that you could see it for yourself. That his words declare that if we do not forgive those who have hurt us, that he will not forgive us. Eternity hangs in the balance. When it comes. forgiveness. We must be forgiven by God of our sin. And we must forgive those who have hurt us, who have trespassed against us. Would you stand with me this morning?